Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. And we'll be starting right there. If I were you, I would try to find something to take notes with. And then I'm just going to say this. Good luck on keeping up. Because today is going to be one of those days where we're going to move really quickly. Last week, God gave me a word. This week, God's given me another word. I've already got another word stirring in my spirit for the next Sunday. But I want us to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me at verses number 14 through 18. Ephesians 5, 14 through 18. This morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled Kairos, No Opportunity Wasted. If I could give a secondary title to the message, I would name it the relativity of the fourth dimension. The relativity of the fourth dimension. I'm going to mess with your mind this morning concerning the time-space continuum. And I'm going to do it with the Word of God. So y'all ready for it? Ephesians 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, now this is a paraphrase of Isaiah 6, but therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Say that out loud with me, please. Redeeming the time because the days are, come on, I want everybody to say it. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to focus on 14, 15, but I'm really going to focus on this phrase in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Say it one more time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. Holy Spirit, use me to speak now. I pray, God, that every word that I say will be exactly what you would say to these people. I rebuke the distractions and the adversary who would try to come to steal the word of God before it ever gets in our heart. I pray right now that the seed would fall on good ground and bring forth a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. J.R. Tolkien made a statement in one of his books. He said, all that we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. All we have to do is decide. You listening to somebody else preach while I'm preaching? I just wondering there. Come on. I love it. You never know what's going to happen in church, right? All we have to do is decide what to do with the time that is given to us. I want you to think about that phrase for the next few moments. The ancient Greeks actually had two different words for the concept of time. The first word was chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S. The second word was kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, which is where we get the title of our message today. The word chronos, you probably recognize this one because it is the root word, the root for the English word we get chronicle from, which is also where we get chronological time from. Chronos refers to measured, ticking, quantitative time. Chronos, or chronological time, is the forward propelling time that we measure with clocks on watches and by the evolutionary phases of the moon. But time does not stop there. The second Greek word for time is kairos. It's a lesser known, but it's still a very important word, especially in the Greek culture when it comes to time. And you got to realize or remember that the entire New Testament is written out of Koine Greek. So the writers would have been picking and choosing the words that they would have used on purpose. This word kairos is what many philosophers and mystics would refer to as deep time. It's when you find yourself in a Kairos time that you completely lose track of Chronos time. Have you ever had those moments in your life where you had this experience with God in your life where it seemed like time, chronologically speaking, just stood still? The state of flow is activated, and during that time, it cannot be measured chronologically. It can only be experienced. Which leads me to this statement, where Chronos time is quantitative, Kairos time is qualitative. In other words, chronologically, we measure with the propelling motion of the hands on the clock, but Kairos, we measure by moments that could even be summed up or experienced in seconds of our lives. Let me see if I can explain it a little better, because I can already see the bewildered look on your faces. Chronos, the Greeks loved to personify everything. In other words, they like to turn it into a person or a figure so you can wrap your mind around the concept of the philosophy that they're teaching. So you're probably familiar with the personification of Chronos. I know you are. How many has ever heard of something called Father Time? Let me see your hand. Father Time is actually the Greek personification of Chronos. And it's a picture of a weary, bent back old man with a very long beard carrying a scythe in his hand and an hourglass, and time is just falling through that hourglass, sands through the hourglass. Come on, so are the days of our lives. I just dated some of y'all. He actually resembles the Grim Reaper, and this is not accidental. In fact, this is where we get the picture of the Grim Reaper. He is old Father Time, right? Chronos, or to the Roman culture, would be Saturn to the Romans, is the stuff that they say kills you. It takes away everything you have, and then it eats you too at the end. According to Roman myth, Saturn ate every single one of his sons at the moment that they were born. So chronological time to the Greek is represented by Father Time, an old man who looks like the Grim Reaper, who eats you and leaves nothing else for you to enjoy. Kairos is totally different. In early excavation of ancient Greece, they uncovered a statue with the Greek name on it, Kairos. This word in Greek actually means appointed time, or it could also mean opportunity. This statue that they uncovered was a young man who was naked with long hair that covered his face. He was bald in the back. Y'all are slow this morning. And on the base of the statue was written these phrases. And they're going to put them on the screen for you. On the base of this statue is, it was written, "What is your name?" And then out beside it, it said, "My name is Kairos, opportunity." Then the second question comes along, "Why does hair cover your face and not your entire head?" And he responds, "Because I'm not recognized at first glance." The third question on the base of the statue is, "Why is the back of your head bald?" His response was, "So that I cannot be taken hold of once I pass by." In other words, if I pass by you and you don't catch me, you miss your Kairos, your moment. The fourth question that was written was, "Why are you standing on your tippy toes with wings on your feet?" And he would respond, "Because I am running and I pass by quickly." And so at the entrance of every Greek Olympic stadium, there was two altars. One of the altars was called the altar of the games, but the other altar was called the altar of Kairos, or the altar of opportunity. In Greek rhetoric, Kairos is a passing instant when an opening appears, which must be driven through with force if success is to be achieved. Ladies and gentlemen, life is comprised of these two segments of time. You better stay with me this morning, because I'm going to drop something heavy on you. I promise when we get to the end, we'll all be shouting, but just let me teach you for a moment. Your life is made up of chronological time. Time is ticking by. You are getting older and you can't stop it. And if time has its way, it'll eventually end up in a ditch called death. Because time is this grim reaper who eats everybody. But also within your life, you have kairos. Kairos are opportunities, special divine moments in life where you have opportunity to propel your life in a totally different direction. And when you realize the kairos or the opportune moments that you're in, those special divine moments, all other time stands still. The capturing of the kairos can literally make you famous. The missing of a kairos, a specific moment, can also make you infamous. I'm ahead of myself. Let me go back to Chronos. Let's talk about chronological time for just a moment. What is chronological time? They're going to put this on the screen. Don't even bother writing it down. My notes will be on the website. You can get it later. The only thing that every human being on earth has in common is time. There is a level playing field for every single person under the sound of my voice right now. It's called time. All of us have a certain amount of it. We can't buy any more. We have a certain amount. And when that time is gone, it is gone. It is the only thing that every human being has on earth, that is on earth, has in common, is time. Secondly, who you are and what you become is determined by how you use your time. You can waste time. You can spend time. You can save time, you can invest time, but who you are and what you become will be the direct result of how you stewarded the time that was given to you. The third thing I want to say about time is time cannot be stopped. Therefore, it can only be stewarded. Since you can't stop it, you can only steward it. And what's interesting is life is time. Life is time. Say that. Life is time. Life for all of us is defined as time. Life is measured in time. Life is lived out in time. Life is qualified and life is quantified by time. The passing of time is the passing of life. And life stops when time stops. And to prove that what I just said to you is true is if you'll go out to a cemetery, you will notice that at every effigy, there is a beginning date, a birth date, and there is an end date with a dash in between it that represents how those people spent their time. What everybody doesn't understand is this next statement. Time is actually the measure of space. Now I'm going to get into physics, and this is going to really mess with you. We're going to get into some theory here. Time is the measure of space. Not only is time the measure of space, watch this. Time is just a piece of eternity in measure. Think about it. We serve an eternal God. And beyond this thing that we have called time, there's nothing but eternity. We came from eternity into time. When we leave time, we will go back into eternity. So time is just a measure, is just eternity in measure. I can see you're still not floating with me, so let me take it a little deeper. Time exists for the purpose of redemption. So if time is the measure of eternity, then the purpose of eternity has to be the reason for time. Which means we know, according from the scripture, that redemption is the ultimate purpose of God for man in time. So therefore, time exists for the purpose of redemption. And I got a statement for everybody in this room. Jesus is a redemption freak. And you better thank God for that, that Jesus is a redemption freak. Now, there's some things you need to know about time. I'm going to give you just three scriptural principles about time. I've already loaded you down, but let me give you three that I really want you to remember. Number one, time has maturity to it. In other words, you read in the Bible over and over again, the scripture saying, and in the fullness of time. But then there's a phrase in the scripture that says, and after this, or when time passes. Go look at your Bible. Almost every time that it says, and after time had passed, something evil follows. When the scripture says, in the fullness of time, something prophetic follows. So when the scripture says, in the fullness of time, what it's saying is time came to the mature. In other words, what it's teaching is chronological time is ticking. And within chronological time, God is waiting on something so that a kairos can happen within the chronological time. Time comes to the mature. In other words, the opportunity becomes available in the chronos. I'm going somewhere. You don't know where I'm going, but I know where I'm going. Let me prove this to you. What I'm teaching is true. It's biblical. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 10. I have seen the God-given task that which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Say that with me. He has made everything beautiful in its time. In other words, God makes the word beautiful there is mature. It's the Hebrew word for mature. He allows everything to mature in its time. In other words, there are plans and purposes. There are purposes, eternal, divine purposes that God has put on the inside of you. And God is allowing the chronos, the chronological time, to tick by and certain things to develop in you within chronological time to get you to the place that you can experience the kairos moment of God. So notice here, the Bible says, I've seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. He's made everything beautiful, mature, in its time. He's put eternity in their hearts. Listen to me. Destiny is already in your heart. Destiny is in your heart. Every single person under the sound of my voice was born with divine purpose in their hearts. God wove it into your being. Destiny is in your hearts. There's no such thing as a human being without a divine purpose. There's no such thing as a human being without destiny. Everybody has eternity in their hearts. What God is trying to do is God takes eternity and he puts it into a thing called time in you and allows you to tick out time chronologically, waiting for that kairos, that purpose of God to come manifest within the chronological time that you're in. Time has maturity. You might be under the sound of my voice saying, hold it, Pastor. I feel like I have a purpose, but I don't see it coming to pass. I'm telling you, it shall come to pass. Everything God wants to do, God is going to have done. I promise you, it shall come to pass. It just might not be the right time for it. For there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. In other words, God is massaging time and working time and shifting time. And God is using every experience that you're going through during your chronological life. As life is going on, you're having these experiences and you don't see any connection. But God is working all of this together for a moment. Yes. A divine opportunity, a kairos that'll come into your life. I got to calm myself down because I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me give you the second principle with time. Time has limitations. Time has limitations, which means time has to be stewarded. Because it's limited. Listen to Job 14, verse 5 through 7, New Living Translation. You've decided to lengthen our lives. You know how many months we will live. God, in Psalms, says he already has all your days written down in a book, even before you ever lived one of them. Job said, you can lengthen our days. You can shorten our day. You already know how many months you have designed me to live. Every single person in this room. There might be somebody that won't be here next week. If you're not here next week, it will be because time chronologically has run out. time has limitations. It has limitations. You say, well, I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to lengthen my days. You might lengthen your days, but you won't lengthen your days to him. He already knows how long you're going to live on the earth. So time has limitations. Let me give you the third thing, and then I'm going to jump into what I really feel like's in my heart. This is all introduction. Maximize your time. Since time has moments of maturity and since time has limitations, listen to this. You got to learn to maximize your time. You got to make time work for you. Are y'all listening to me in the back of the room? You got to make time work for you. Everybody's working for time, but you need to be making time work for you. Listen to Psalm 39, verse number 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Every single day, we ought to get up thinking this could be our last day. Are we going to maximize every single moment of time that we have? Right? Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach me to number my days. In other words, I need to start counting. Now, I know how old I am. I also know what the average is of lifespan. And I know what the above average is of lifespan. And trust me, when you get past 50, you start counting your days. Can I get a witness in the room? You start, listen, you might not count your days, but you feel them. Like your feet hurt for no reason at all. You can brush your teeth and pull a bicep out of whack. Come on, I got any 50-year-olds in here know what I'm talking about, or older, right? It's like the older you get, the things you do, you say, well, I'm going to work out. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. What's going to happen is one day you're going to be working out and bam, it's going to hit you. You're going to say, oh, what happened? And that thing's going to look at you and say, you're now 52, idiot. Right? And then you're going to find that what used to take you 3 days to recover from, now you go 30 days and you're still like, is that thing ever going to get right? I mean, all I did was just stretched it a little bit. So the Bible says, watch this, maximize your time. Everybody say maximize your time. Maximize. You got to make your time work for you. So the Bible comes in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to have them put this back on the screen again, which is going to totally mess up their notes. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. Therefore, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you the light. See that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means accurately. In other words, make sure that you make the most of every opportunity. Make sure that you don't miss your Kairos moments as you're living out your Chronos life. Make sure that when opportunity comes knocking, Kairos divine moments come, that you're ready for those moments. Be living in such a way that you walk accurately through time. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Deem means to purchase. Redeem means to repurchase. It almost seems to me that the scripture is implying that somehow along the way, within chronology of our life, we have missed some Kairos moments of our life. And God is saying, if you miss those moments in the days that you have lived out on the earth, don't worry, there is a way for you to go back and buy back the opportunity that you missed. Oh, this is where it's going to get good. So what is he talking about when he's saying redeem the time? I believe there's three things that's implied here. Number one, walk in your purpose. Walk in your purpose. Be accurate with how you live. Life is too short than to just wander through it. Come on, somebody. Walk with purpose. What has God put you here on the earth to do? If you can't answer that question, you need to get in the throne room of God. You need to get in the Word of God. And you need to say, God, show me why you put me on this planet and help me to live in my purpose. Walk in your purpose. Number two, walk in wisdom. Not everything that comes your way is the wisdom of God to get involved in. Some things, in fact, let me just say it this way. The majority of things that a lot of us do is a waste of our time. It's not profitable for us. It might be fun to do, but it's not profitable. It doesn't have anything to do with the purpose of God that is in your life. So number one, walk in your purpose. Number two, walk in wisdom. Now, number three, he says, know what the will of God is. Look at me. You can't know your purpose. You can't walk in that purpose with wisdom if you don't know what the Word of God says. So you've got to find your purpose within the Word of God. Know the will of God. And then ask the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5, to fill you to overflowing. And Holy Spirit, lead and guide every single step I take every day into my divine purpose by the wisdom of God. Help me fulfill the will of God for my life. I'm trying to teach you something important here. But I just said all of that to say this. Scientists once thought that space and time were separate and that the universe was merely just an assortment of cosmic bodies arranged in three dimensions. You know, three dimensions. Height, depth, and length. But then there's this really smart guy that comes along and he's doing this study and he discovers something. He discovers that there's a fourth dimension called time. His name is Albert Einstein and he introduced the concept of time as the fourth dimension, which meant that space and time were now inextricably linked. Up until that point, it was thought that space was doing its thing, time was doing its thing, and never the two met. But he comes along and says, no, space and time are connected together. This is the theory of relativity, general relativity. It suggests that space and time, listen to this, expands and contracts depending on the momentum and mass of nearby matter. Space and time expand and contract depending on what's going on with the matter that's in it. Y'all are smart people in Tennessee, right? If I did this in Louisiana, they'd still be lost. Come on, somebody. Right? Space and time are expanding and contracting based on what's going on with the matter that's in it. Space and time are and based on the what's going on with the matter that is in it. This is called general relativity. In other words, time, we might be going through a 24-hour period, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going through a 24-hour period. And time for me can be working one way because I'm the matter that's in it. So therefore, time is expanding and contracting. Chronological time can expand and contract. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, rock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you're on a rock around the clock tonight. Come on, somebody. Time cannot expand. Chronological time. So when it's saying that time expands and contracts, what it's talking about is this kairos moments. In other words, the purpose of God, this helped me, Jesus, the purpose of God that was created in you is expanding and contracting based on how you're handling the chronological time of your life. Now, this is good news because I was always thought, according to Greek culture, that if I missed opportunity and could not grab him when he passed by, there was no hair on the back of his head to seize him. Once opportunity, Kairos moments, came into my life, they left my life, and I would never see them again. And so therefore, I just missed my opportunity. But time in the fourth dimension basically says that time is expanding and contracting based on the relativity of what's going on with the matter that is inside that time. So what this is telling me is that purpose never leaves your life. Kairos moments never leave your life. You might miss your opportunity to go into the promised land. But if you'll come back around into obedience, I'll bring you back to the same border that you missed before. Even if it's 40 years, my purpose is I brought you out that I might bring you in. I know you messed up along the way. I know you missed it. I know that you missed your opportunity. I know you, but you don't understand. I can contract and I can expand time to make sure that what needs to happen in your life happens. In other words, purpose never leaves your life. And I came with a word from heaven for people in here who have messed up in life and you think you have missed the opportunities that have come your life, that somehow or another they have come and they have left and that they'll never come back again. I come to tell you this morning, the purpose of God has not left your life. The purpose of God still remains sure. The purpose of God still stands. God has not changed his mind. And God can take in a moment, contract or expand time to make that purpose happen. In other words, if purpose was going to take 40 years to mature so that it could manifest and you missed it, if God needs to, he can take what was going to take 40 years. He can contract time and that same purpose can be fulfilled in 40 minutes instead of... Are y'all listening to what I'm trying to tell you? In other words, I know everybody in here, just like me, you have wasted time. How many of you in here, listen, if I looked up missed opportunity, your Instagram account would show up. Let me see your hand. How many of you feel like there's been a couple of opportunities that would have changed the direction of your life forever? Come on, lift both hands. You missed it. Can I tell you something? You might have missed the moment, but the opportunity is about to come back around again. I'm glad I got three people that believe what I'm saying right now. You might want to write this down because this is important. This is your tweetable moment. God does not have a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. But he does have many plans to get you to your purpose. God does not have a plan for your life. Why is that? Because God believes in free moral agency. God put you here on the planet. You can make plans. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but only the Lord's purpose will prevail. So what I'm trying to tell you is that if you ever feel like you have missed out on your purpose, God has called you, God anointed you, God asked you to do something, an opportunity came your way and you missed out on it and you feel like that purpose is gone forever, I'm telling you that is a lie. God does not have a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life and his purpose is eternal. It's not temporal. If God in eternity decided to take and put you in time with divine purpose, are you telling me you're big enough to mess up his purpose? See, at some point, you've got to be so convinced about the grace of God that you realize the purpose of God has never left your life. It's still here. Missed relations. Put it back up there. Don't go off there off that yet. I want this to get in your spirit. God doesn't just have a plan for your life. He has purpose for your life. Now, that might mean he has to use a lot of different plans to get you there. Because some of y'all hard-headed. I pastor you. I know. You're stubborn. You're stiff-necked. You're hell-bent, you're going to do it your way. And what you don't realize, you're not going to do it your way. God is going to have His way. He thinks He's God. He thinks He's in charge. He thinks He's sovereign. He thinks He's providential. He thinks He calls the shots. God is going to have it. You can run, but you can't hide. You can fight like Jacob, but at the end of the day, He'll just touch the hollow of your hip and you'll walk around with a limp. But you are going to do the will of God if you got to do it on crutches, baby. The purpose of God is going to stand. I wish I had some people in this room who is thankful that God doesn't throw away your purpose. Oh, Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You say, well, hold it, Pastor. What about Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, said the Lord. I know the plans that I've made for you. The word in Hebrew is not plans. It's not plans. Go look at it. The word in Hebrew is purpose. It is purpose. God says, I know. Listen, when God decided to create Jason Murphy, God said, I want Jason Murphy to be born. When were you born, Jason?
April 10th, 1973.
God said, I want Jason Murphy born April 10th, 1973. For two reasons. Number one, his purpose will be to see that he has a pastor who's 52 and is much cuter than he is. That's one purpose. I had to get it in there, right? I was born in 70. But I have a divine purpose for Jason Murphy in the earth. And it ain't just finances. And Jason can go this direction and that direction. And Jason can make this choice and that choice. And this might be a mistake or that might be a mistake. This might be a win, that might not be. But Jason needs to know something, that I reached into myself in eternity past. Jason was in God before he was ever in the earth. Jason has always been. Jason is an eternal being because he was in God before he was ever in the earth. And when it's all said and done, he'll go back to God. He's an eternal being. So if God is going to reach, you do understand he could have reached and grabbed anything else from eternity and put it into time. But what God did is God said, no, I've got to have this man, Jason Murphy. He has got to have these parents. He has got to be born in this time. And I need him to be this mature and at this place in his life, sitting on this day at the Bend Church, because I've got a word from heaven that I've got to get to somebody in the room. So God, notice this, works all things together for the good. Jason tries to go this way. God says, no problem. I got that plan worked out too. Jason tries to go that way. He says, no problem. I got that plan worked out too. What God doing? God is orchestrating every plan. It doesn't matter what Jason chooses. At the end of the day, this thing's going to all end up in the purpose of God, and the purpose of God is going to be fulfilled. Judas could say, I'm never going to betray Jesus, but at the end of the day, he'll do exactly what his purpose was created for. He is going to do what God created him to do. And can I tell you something? The devil might have distracted you. The devil might have destroyed you. The devil might have wiped out your life. The devil might have led you down the wrong way to make some bad decisions, but God has not given up on you. God is going to work all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Come on, I got anybody in here that's got eternity in their heart? So literally, time is expanding and contracting for you. I wrote something down. I don't know who this is for, but maybe this is for you. I really want you to get this. You cannot mess up God's purpose for your life. You say, yeah, I believe I can. I believe I already have. Listen to me. I checked your credentials when you were born, and nobody in here has big G O-D in front of your name. You cannot mess up your purpose. Because your purpose was settled in God before you ever got here. And God will have His way. He will have His way. You say, well, what if my purpose was to be a hellion? God will have His way. You say, I don't know about that. Read Romans chapter 9. He makes some vessels unto honor, some vessels under dishonor. But at the end of the day, no matter what you decide, God's purpose will be done. How many of you in here feel like that God has a divine purpose for your life? How many? Now put your hands up. How many of you honestly feel like, Pastor, I feel like I've messed it up. Let me see. The devil's told you messed up. Listen to me. He's a liar. The very fact the devil's told you you messed it up ought to tell you you haven't messed it up, because the devil's a liar. You cannot mess up God's purpose for your life. In fact, here's what I wrote down. God has many plans to get you to your purpose. So today what I want to do is I want to take the high stakes of the equation of our destinies. I want to take the weight of the world off of our shoulders. I want us all in this room to take a deep breath in the comfort of the Prince of Peace. God is not surprised that your life has not been perfect. I know you thought when you messed up, God fell off His throne. It's like God's sitting up there with a movie on, popcorn in His hand. I wonder what kind of movie it's going to be. God wrote the script. God's directing. Now, He's not controlling every one of your choices. But His purpose. Now, notice what I just said there. He's not controlling your choices, but His purpose. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord. So I'm not saying God's up there like a puppeteer pulling the strings. He's not. However, I love it. He's not surprised that your life has not been perfect. I mean, every day. Can you imagine every day? Pam is totally shocked that I'm not perfect. I mean, it flabbergasts her. I can't believe He's not perfect. In the same way, God knows you. I'm fixing to free somebody in this room. He's not surprised that your life has not been perfect. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because perfection was never the plan. This is too heavy for some. Some of y'all can't handle it. Perfection was never the plan. He knew what Adam was going to do before he ever did it. Knew what Lucifer was going to do before he ever did it. He knew how you was going to jack your life up before you ever did it. Perfection wasn't the plan. Redemption. Y'all missed it. Perfection was never the plan. What was the plan? Redemption was the plan. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, since God knew you wasn't going to be perfect, and perfection was never the plan, and God knew how much of a blow up you were going to make, and God hasn't quit believing in you, and God hasn't quit fighting for you, and God hasn't thrown you aside, then why in the world are you wallowing around in your imperfection? Why don't you get up out of that imperfection, and why don't you get over into the area of redemption and realize the purpose of God hasn't left your life? You might have blown some days. It's so good, I'm going to make a CD of it and listen to it. You might have blown some days, but these divine moments of God are still in the time-space continuum, waiting for you to come into alignment with what heaven has decreed, so that in the fullness of time, a kairos can happen. I thought y'all be much more excited that God hadn't thrown you away. It's almost like you want me to tell you that God doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. Whatever decisions you're facing today, He's with you in them. Not only is He with you in them, He's championing you and the incredible purpose that He's put in you and set before you. God is your greatest cheerleader. It makes me think of my little mama. And sorry, go nostalgic on you. My mama understood nothing about football. My grandmother understood nothing about football, worse than my mother understood. But I could be at MTSU playing, Oakland High School, playing football. And I could get a handoff and take off around a corner and break for a touchdown. And my mama and grandmama didn't even know what I was doing. They didn't. All they knew is he got the ball. Go over here, go, go over here, go, go over here. And you would hear my grandma, ah! My mama screaming, go over here, go over here, go over here, go. Little Cherokee Indian lady. I could have run the opposite way. And did in peewee football and ran a touchdown for the opposing team. Seriously, caught an interception, got turned around, and ran to the opposing team's end zone. A touchdown for that team. The same mama and grandmama. Go, baby, go! Go, baby, go! My daddy is cussing mad. Shut up, woman. That's the way I see God. Woo! That's the way I see God. Perfection was never the plan. He knew what you was going to be. He knew what you was going to do. He knew how much you was going to mess up. He's still in heaven saying, that's my baby. Go, we're going to go. You just keep going. You keep running. You keep striving. You're going to fulfill what I called you to and put you to. I want you to stand up with me. I'm done. What I'm trying to do this morning is I'm trying to encourage everybody in this room that no matter what crossroads you're at, no matter what your past looks like, you know, time is relative. I have a flashlight. I turn on a flashlight, and I'm standing in a train that is moving 186,000 miles per second. From the outside, the light will look faster than a person on the inside holding the light. It's relative, depending on where the matter is standing. God hadn't given up on you. No matter what crossroads you're at. Listen, I know some people say, well, you've blown your life. You messed up your life. They're just standing outside the train. Their viewpoint does not alter the speed of light. They just have a different perception of what they're seeing. And some of you have listened to people tell you that you'll never be nothing, do nothing, go anywhere, become anything. And I'm telling you, you need to quit listening to people that are standing on the outside of your train that don't understand the light that you're holding on the inside of your train. God's purpose is going to be fulfilled for you. Now, there's no way I'm going to be able to get everybody here to this altar, but here's what I want to do. I want everybody to bow your head in this room. First of all, I've got a question for people in this room. You say, first of all, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. Today, I'm not even right with the Lord. I'm not even right with the Lord. I'm not even where I need to be with the Lord. I've failed so much. I've blown it so much. I'm not even so sure God still loves me. Today, I'm telling you, my friend, God still loves you. God's not giving up on you. The plans and the purpose of God still stands sure in your life. God, you say, well, I've wasted 40 years. That's all right. You can do in 40 minutes what took 40 years if you just come into alignment with what heaven wants to do for you. If you're in here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like I've blown my life, but today I want to give it back to Jesus. I want to give it back to Jesus. Everything I want to give it to Him, and I want Him to fulfill His purpose in my life. If that's you, I want you to get your hand in the air right now. Lift it up. God bless you and you. God bless you. Who else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I feel like I've blown my purpose, but I want it back. I'm going to redeem the time. God bless you and God bless you and God bless you. God bless you in the back. I see it. God bless you. God bless you up here. I see it. I feel like I've blown my time, but I want it back. The devil cannot have my purpose. The devil, God bless you. God, the devil cannot have my purpose. The devil cannot have my purpose. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those of us who just lifted our hands in this room, you know where we're at. You see the very seat that we're sitting in. You created us. You know the number of hairs on our head. Father, today I pray that grace would come into every single one of their lives. I pray that hope would come into their life. I pray that, Lord, you would stir up again the purpose of God that stands sure on the inside of them. Father, I pray that your love right now would wrap big old huge arms around them, that you would squeeze them and hold them tight. Let them feel the mercy of God this morning, and let them know that you have not given up on them, that they have not broken or they have not done anything too bad that they can't still see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I decree over them, they shall fulfill the purpose of God in their life. I decree over them that the enemy, the adversary, is rebuked, that the devourer is rebuked in Jesus' name. He cannot stop what God has designed and orchestrated in their life. And I declare over them, they shall do everything they were created to do, and then some, for the glory of God shall be seen in them. I thank you for mercy this morning. I thank you for mercy this morning. Come on, everybody in this room, lift your hands. I thank you for mercy this morning. All of us in this room have wasted time. All of us in this room have wasted days. Lord, forgive us for not stewarding our time for our purpose. Help us now to become wise. Help us to walk accurately in this chronological time that we have to fulfill the purpose of God in our life. Forgive us where we missed it, Lord, and help us to step right into that purpose. Lord, in this room, there's business people. There's businesses that have yet to be given birth to. There's ministries in here that have yet to step out into international acclaim. God, the purpose of God is still on them. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I decree that the fullness of time is coming for people in this room. This is they're going to be their moment, their Kairos moment. In Jesus' name. I know what the Greeks say about time. They say once we miss it, we can never get it back. But I know what the Word of God says about time. The Word of God says I can redeem the time because the days are evil. You need my purpose. You need my purpose for this moment right now. So I'm going to redeem the time. I'm buying back my moment. I'm getting back my moment. Say that out loud with me. I'm getting back my moment. Come on, say it again. I'm getting back my moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I pray over these people. I pray, Father, that you'd lift up your face over their life. Lift up your countenance over their life. Turn your face toward them. Grant them the peace of God that passes understanding. I pray that you would grant unto them favor. I pray that God, you would put your name on them. I pray, Lord, that they would be blessed, Father. I pray, Father, as they go out, they are going out. Not the tail, they're going out the head. They're not going out on the bottom, they're going out on top. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to have opportunity this week to do incredible things. Opportunity is going to pass by them this week, and they're going to seize it and do what you called them to do. I speak it over their life today. I speak it over their life today. I release greatness. I hear the Lord saying, release greatness. I release greatness over everybody in this room. I release greatness over everybody in this room. And I hear the Lord saying, there's nothing too big for me. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord is saying, there's nothing too big for me. Take me out of the box. The Lord says, take me out of the box. There's nothing too big for me. There's somebody in here, the purpose of God is so big, you feel like it's an impossibility. I'm telling you, God is saying to you right now that purpose is not too big for him. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I don't know who that's for, but that's speaking directly to somebody's heart today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a praise for the word this morning? Come on. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Get out of here. Go have a great day in Jesus. This coming Wednesday night, we'll be in Revelation 4 and the throne room. We're going to the throne. I'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30. Get out of here.